Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Old radio,
old radio,
old radio,
old radio,
old radio.
Comedy podcast.
Welcome to episode 42 of season 4 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Red Skelton started out in show business in his teens, dropping out of school and performing in comedy and traveling medicine shows, on riverboats, and even as a clown in a circus. He also worked the burlesque circuit and graduated to vaudeville in his 20s. He made his first film for RKO in 1938, which led to a string of films throughout the 40s. His first radio appearance was in 1937 on the Fleischmann's Yeast Hour, and this success led to his becoming the host of Avalon Time in 1938, replacing Red Foley. This led to his own radio show, the Raleigh Cigarette Program, in 1941. Edgar Bergen started out in vaudeville with his dummy Charlie McCarthy and also did movie shorts. His act's success led to being invited on the Chase and Sanborn Hour in 1936 as a guest, and that appearance was so popular that they were invited to be regular cast members, which lasted from 37 to 56 under various names. The concept and success of a ventriloquist on radio, where you could see neither the ventriloquist or the dummy, puzzled many critics, and continues to do so to this day. The act was extremely popular, and despite knowing that Bergen was doing the voice of McCarthy, listeners seemed to perceive him as a genuine person. And the show was extremely popular, after moving to CBS as The Charlie McCarthy Show. Now sit back and enjoy the April 29th, 1939 broadcast of Avalon Time with Red Skelton and the October 14th, 1945 broadcast of The Charlie McCarthy Show.
Good evening, this is Del King saying welcome to Avalon Time, with greetings from Red Foley, Jeanette, Bill Davis, and the Avalon Orchestra, and the only man in radio who has ears like steam shovels, they pick up all the dirt, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Del, where do you get those corny introductions?
Well, I don't know, Red. I guess it's the farmer in the Del.
That's Del King, folks. He's a little tired. Last night he put his mustache up in tin curlers and didn't sleep a wink. Boy, what a mustache.
Hey, Skelton.
Yeah?
Well, you don't get arrested wearing that suit.
Hiya, microphone. What do you mean? Do you think I'll get arrested wearing this suit?
You're dressed to kill.
You like it, huh?
Yeah, it fits your personality. Plain and simple.
Oh, microphone.
Say, have you been crying or did you wash your face?
I've been swimming. Boy, was that water cold. But it didn't bother me. I went right in. I never did find out who pushed me. But whoever it was, they did a good job. I did a swan dive. It was so graceful that two seagulls asked me for my autograph. I stayed in the water for about 20 minutes. I'd have come out sooner, but there were some girls on the beach, and I had a run in my bathing suit stocking. Not only that, I had big bags in the knees of my bathing suit. I stayed under the water so long, that two fish swam by and offered me a worm. But the water was so cold that I finally had to come out. When the folks saw my red hair, blue bathing suit, I loused that up, didn't I? Wait a minute. I finally had to come out. They're all good, if I can only find it. I was in the water so long, the two fish swam by. I said that, didn't I? That's what I heard it. When I came out of the water and the folks on my red hair, white bathing suit, and blue skin, they saluted me. I think it'd been just as well out of went on. I don't know. But I wasn't the only one in swimming. Edna Stillwell was there. She didn't exactly have on a bathing suit. She borrowed my handkerchief and said a prayer. Del King went in swimming with that big mustache of his and got mating calls from a walrus. Phil Davis. Oh, yeah. You'll have to quit, lady. We got another program coming on right now. Oh, but we appreciate those laughs. Phil Davis was in swimming, and he had on a leopard skin bathing suit. He looked like the Queen Mary in a sarong. He did a high dive in the water and got a nasty letter from the Flood Control Committee. I love to lay around out on the beach and get that sunshine. In fact, I was so brown that three people came up and congratulated me on winning the roper fight. Well, I think I've been out here splashing around long enough, so I'll wait out and let Red Foley dive in if we've come a long way together. Go on in, fella. The water's fine.
Come a long way together since we met on the old village green. We've weathered all kinds of weather, and to me you are still sweet 16. Why can't if our hair turns to silver, we still have love to keep our hearts aglow. We've come a long way together, and we still have a long way to go.
He got a big kick out of making this arrangement, and now it's all yours from Stars in Your Eyes.
Thank you.
forgot to mention that Red Skelton is also the only man in radio who doubles as night watchman and janitor for a bank. As we look in at the Hope and Trust Company, we find our vice president in charge of mops busy with the banking business.
Hello there. Is that you, J.B.? This is Skelton with the Hope and Trust Company. Now, about that matter of foreign exchange, make my order Danish pastry instead of French pastry, will you? Okay, let's see. What was I doing here? Oh, yeah, I was going over these books with a dust rag. Uh-oh, somebody's at the door. Who's there? Who's there? You're going to tell me who's there, or am I going to have to run for my life? Oh, it's Miss Stillwell.
Well, it's about time you opened the door.
All ready for work? Come in, take off your things.
Look, I'm a secretary, not a fan dancer.
Yeah. Here, let me take your coat and...
What are you laughing at?
Somebody dropped a pot of geraniums on your head and it stuck there.
That's my new hat.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we got to get some work done here. You take the second floor, and I do mean with a scrub brush.
Scrubbing. This is swell. Secretary to a night watchman and janitor. There's only one job worse than mine.
What's that?
Yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, my uncle started out as a night watchman 30 years ago, and he's been pretty lucky.
Lucky? How?
He still got the job. Now, hurry and clean up. The president of the bank just called up and said he was going to come down here. He's going to run down here tonight to set that lock on the vault. Hey, I wonder who that is. Can't be the president. No president could run that fast, even for a third term.
Well, who is that funny-looking goon?
I don't know. It must be the president. Hiya, Prez.
Stand where you are. Don't you move.
Now, wait a minute, Prez. Now, put that gun away. We've never met before, but I'm your vice president in charge of liquid assets. I fill the inkwell.
Oh, you're the vice president, huh? Yeah. I suppose the dame with the funny-looking hat is Frances Poikins.
Miss Stillwell, meet the president of our bank.
The bank? Oh, sure, I'm the president of the bank.
Well, he looks suspicious to me.
How can you tell? He's wearing a mask. Well, I suppose you want to fix the lock on the vault, eh, Prez?
The lock? What's wrong with it?
Well, don't you remember? He just called up and said you forgot to set the time lock.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I bring me tools along, too. Yeah. You see, here's me blowtorch, Jimmy, and drilling stuff.
Okay, Fred. Now, if you need any help, let me know, will you?
I sure will, chum.
Yeah, he's a nice fellow, that guy. They say he's terrific with figures.
I'll bet the only figures he ever saw were at Minsky's. That's the first time I ever saw the president of a bank with a Jimmy.
Well, what's wrong with that? Even the president of the United States has a Jimmy. Wait, I'll answer that phone now. Hello.
Listen, I want to come down and deposit my cow. Yeah.
You want to deposit a cow?
Yeah, I want to get the milk certified. Will you do that for me, pal?
Okay, fella. It's in the bag.
Look, is that a policeman trying to get in here?
I don't know. Hey, is that a policeman trying to get in?
Well, it ain't Jesse James.
Hercules, the policeman. Come on in.
Ah, little boy blue coat. Why are you out of breath, Herky?
All those darn dead-end kids chased me 5 blocks.
What did you do to them, Herky?
Nothing. They stole the pie and I wanted my cut. Not only that, those kids get my goat.
They get your goat? Here it comes, folks. They get your goat, eh? You mean they steal your billy?
I guess you have to be pretty brave to be a policeman.
Brave? Why, I captured 5 desperate killers with my policeman's club.
Weren't you scared?
Oh, goodness, no. There's 45 members in the club.
I'll bet you... I'll bet you just go around looking for trouble, don't you, Erky?
Oh, I'll say I do, Mr. Skelton. Why, a few minutes ago, a car passed me going 45 miles an hour, and I said, hey, where do you think you're going, to a fire? And was I embarrassed.
Why? Why?
It was a fire truck. Well, I gotta go now and see if I can find out who shot that man they left hanging over the electric sign.
You mean you're following a clue?
No, I'm following Dick Tracy.
Hey, Herky, you forgot your gun. Get a load of this gun. Say, I wonder how the press is making out with that time lock. Hey, how you doing there, Fred?
Okay, chum. I'll be hitting the jackpot soon.
Well, look out for that bottle of soda pop I got in there. I'm keeping it cool on frozen assets.
Well, put that gun down. You'll scare him to death.
Okay. Having trouble, Prez?
Oh, I can't seem to get the door at this fort open.
Well, I can open it. I wrote the combination down on a piece of paper.
Say, chum, that's swell. Where is it? In your pocket?
No, I was afraid I'd lose it, so I put it in the vault. But don't worry, Fred. I think I remember the combination. Let's see now. I was trying to think there for a minute. Oh, yeah. Right, 27.
Right, 27.
Left, 42.
Left, 42.
Right, 19.
Right, 19.
Left.
Oh, I'd die if somebody gets bingo before me.
What a dopey president that guy is.
Mr. Skelton, I believe.
Well, the Phantom of Bank Night. I always knew you belonged in a vault.
Yes. And this is your pretty little secretary. Yes. My, but you look lovely. You have lips like petals.
If you say bicycle pedals, I'll clip you.
Hey, what are you doing here anyway?
Me? I'm president of this bank. J. Teppington Tinbox, the third.
The third? You mean there's two other guys look like you laugh? You ain't the president of this bank.
Oh, but I am. See the gray hairs in my toupee?
Yeah, what's the idea of gray hairs in your toupee?
So the board of directors will think I worry.
Say, if you're the president of the bank, who's that guy over there working on the time lock?
Well, I could be Bulldog Drummond, but I'm Benny the Bum.
Benny the Bum? Remember me? Steve the Snicker.
Stevie! What are you doing here?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm president of this bank.
Yeah? Well, as a matter of fact, I'm robbing the joint.
Well, how interesting. As a matter of fact, I'm absconding with the fund.
You wouldn't dare.
Yes. And, as a matter of fact, I'm splitting with Benny the Bum.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Skelton, you can help yourself, too. It's just some old stuff we were going to send back to the Mint.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, Mr. Skelton,
what?
The best thing you can do is stop these guys.
What's second best? I mean, stick them up, you guys. And if either of you move, I'll die.
Look, here comes Herky.
Officer Herky, go tell the policeman to call me a cop.
Herky. Oh, here I come. Oh, goodness, a hold up. Here I go.
Come in. Put the handcuffs on him, Herky. Don't stand there shaking like me.
There you are, you two rascals. Oh, Mr. Skelton, thank heavens that's over.
Yeah.
You know what you held them up with?
Yeah.
A water pistol.
I know it was a water gun. The reason I was so scared is because it wasn't loaded.
Jeanette says the path of true love never runs smooth. Here's what happens when the masquerade is over.
Your eyes don't shine like they used to shine. And the thrill is gone when your lips meet mine. I'm afraid the masquerade is over, and so is love, and so is love. Your words don't mean what they used to mean. They were once inspired, now they're just routine. I'm afraid the masquerade is over, and so is love, and so is love. I guess I'll have to play Pagliacci and get myself a clown's disguise and learn to laugh like Pagliacci with tears in my eyes. You look the same. You're a lot the same. But my heart says no, no, you're not the same. I'm afraid the masquerade is over, and so is love, and so is
Avalon Chorus with their stirring interpretation of Boots and Saddle. Say, Skelton, have you got a saga for this week?
Yes, sir, boy. We got a pip. Napoleon Bonaparte, Skelton.
Oh, swell. What's it all about?
Well, the time's April the 18th, 1815, and the place is Waterloo. Now, Napoleon Skelton is lying on the battlefield, and he's very sick. You know, he just lost a big battle. And Lady Lou, better known as the Countess of Waleska, is standing right beside Napoleon. And the Lady Lou says, "You want anything, Napoleon?" And Napoleon says, "Yes. Waterloo." Bad, huh?
Let's save it for next week.
Yeah, what do we do this week?
Well, that's where I come in. I've written a little sketch.
Yeah, a sketch?
Yes, it's a cross between a skit and a sketch, so I call it a sketch.
Oh, for a minute, I thought there was something wrong with your English.
You'll like my sketch. Now, the scheme takes place...
The scheme?
Yes, the scheme takes place in the Ozarks. You know, in a sketch, you have skiing. Now, the skiing is in the Ozarks Mountains.
Mountains.
I like mountains better than mountains, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Mountains make a much better scheme for a sketch. Don't you think so, Del?
Oh, slow, I blink so.
You can't do a play that hasn't been rehearsed.
Well, the listeners have never heard a play that hasn't been rehearsed, so we'll let them know how they sound before they are rehearsed.
Okay.
So here's your part.
Okay, you set the scene, will you, Del?
All right, Red. Now, what are we going to use for music?
I'll fix it. Okay, Phil, play some mountain music. And an octave faster than that last number you played.
This ain't gonna help my Crossley any.
The time, the hottest day in August. The place, Warm Mattress, Arkansas. That's just above Hot Springs.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Is this in the South or the Corn Belt? Where are we at?
As the scene opens, we find Ida May talking to Cicero, her boyfriend, who's been married before and is considered the laziest man in the mountains.
Ain't love a wonderful thing?
Yeah.
When you got married the first time, did you feel something cold running up and down your back?
Nope. Her pappy held the gun pretty steady. Wait a minute. You can't do things like that on the radio. What are you talking about?
Well, did you love her?
Yes, I loved the ground she stood on, till I found out there was a mortgage on the place. Man, it sure is warm, isn't it? Would you mind taking that there handkerchief of yours and wipe the perspiration from my brow?
You're the laziest man I ever saw.
I ain't lazy, I'm just curbing my energy.
Well, you better. Why, you're so skinny, if you had a little fuzz on you, they could use you for a stovepipe cleaner.
Yeah. Show is hot standing here in the sun, ain't it? Say, Ida May, you see that nice shady spot over there under that tree?
Uh-huh.
I'd give anything in the world if I was sitting there.
Well, getting late, ain't it?
Yep.
Ain't you getting hungry?
Yep.
Well, ain't you gonna go home?
Nope.
Why?
I'm standing in a bear trap. Oh, wait a minute. Get me out of here.
Well, friends, remember the next time when you ask for Avalon cigarettes,
don't forget your chain.
Enjoy tonight's show, and we cordially invite you to be with us next Saturday evening when the Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation will again present Avalon Time. If your community does not observe daylight saving time, please tune in 1 hour earlier and listen to Red Skelton Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Daylight Time when he appears as guest on the Doghouse program, a new program that we think you'll like. Del King speaking. Good night, everybody. Avalon Time originated in the studios of the Nation Station and reached you through the National Broadcasting Company.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ben Grauer, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, Ursel Twing, and our very special guest for the evening, Hildegard. And here's Charlie McCarthy.
Stuffy, stuffy, stuffy.
Oh,
why, Charlie, old boy, what's wrong with you?
Oh, it's nothing, Ray. It's just my pals have turned against me. That's all. That's all. That's
yes,
all.
But what about Fred Allen?
I'm through with him.
Well, how about Edgar?
Well, he's through with me. I'm lowering a gopher's basement, I say.
Oh, Charlie.
I'm back up on the ground floor. Hello, Anita.
I want to sing.
Yes. Well, go ahead, my little nightingale.
Anita Gordon, Charlie's 15-year-old singing discovery and 20th Century Fox starlet, sings June is Bustin' Out All Over.
June is bustin' out all over the meadow and the hill. Buds are bustin' out of bushes and the romping river pushes every little wheel that wheels beside a mill. June is bustin' out all over. The feeling is getting so intense that the young Virginia creepers have been hugging the bejeepers out of all the morning glories on the fence. Because it's June, 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 just because it's June. Virginia creepers have been hugging the jeepers out of all the morning glories on the fence. Because it's June, 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 just because it's June, June, June.
What are you thinking about, Mr. Birkin? Hmm? Are you asleep?
No, Charlie, I was just thinking about you.
Oh, yes. Are you going to forgive me for running off with Fred Allen?
I don't know what to do, young man.
You don't know?
No. Hmm. I just haven't decided what to do.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've certainly learned a lesson, Birkin.
Yes,
I have.
Well, I now hope that you feel a greater sense of loyalty to me.
Oh, yes, I do, sir. Now I know which side my bread is margarine on.
Yes. Yes, Charlie, we must stand by each other.
Yes, we must. Yes.
We must help each other. Damon helped Pythias.
Yes, he did that, yes.
Watson helped Sherlock Holmes. Yes, sometimes the very littlest fellow can help the big fellow.
Oh, he can.
You've heard about the lion and the mouse, haven't you?
No, sir. I haven't seen the papers lately.
No, I know.
I've been so upset, you know.
Well, it's a fable.
Well, I don't believe half what I read anyway.
No, I mean it happened a long time ago.
Oh, I see.
Yes, it teaches a great lesson.
It does.
Yes.
Oh, won't you please, sir, tell it in your own inimitable way?
Yes.
Let those pearls of wisdom drop from your ever-moving lips. I couldn't resist it.
Well, watch it. Shall I tell the long version or the short version?
Oh, it really doesn't matter. I don't listen anyway.
Well, but in this story, in this case, I do want you to listen, and listen very carefully.
Yes, sir. I shall be all ears to you. With my fingers in them.
There's a parallel between the lion and the mouse and you and me.
No.
Yes. Now, I can be compared to the big shaggy lion.
Is this molting season for lions?
No. And you might be, shall we say, you are the little mouse.
Yes. You don't have to beat around the bush. Just come right out and say it.
What's that?
Go ahead. Call me a rat. Go ahead.
Yes.
I know what you're thinking.
All right.
Now, once upon a time, there was a sleeping lion.
Was this at a lion's club?
No. And as this lion slept, there was a little mouse walking around all over him.
A sleepwalker.
Well, yeah. Suddenly the lion awoke and raised his paw
and left the room.
No, wait a minute. And he caught the mouse under his paw, and then he opened his terrifying jaws to eat the mouse. But the little mouse said, stop. He talked right back to the lion.
Oh, stout fella. Oh, I'm proud of you, you little cheese burner, you.
All right. Now, you see, this mouse had intestinal fortitude.
I know a shorter way to say that.
No, I'm not. And the little mouse said,
baby, I have done no harm.
I have to sit through these things. That mouse had a lovely squeaking voice, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Bergen, did anyone ever tell you that you have a very fascinating way of telling a story?
Well, as a matter of fact, they have, yes.
Uh-huh, they have.
Yes, oh, yes.
Well, they lied.
Oh, I... And so the lion answered this little mouse. He says, why shouldn't I eat you now? And the little mouse said,
because there's no R in mouse.
No, please.
I'm out of season.
Oh, please. So the mouse said, perhaps someday I can help you, Mr. Lion. And the lion was so amused that he laughed and he laughed and he let the mouse go.
He laughed himself right out of a mouse burger, didn't he?
Yes. And now comes the exciting part of the story.
Well, just stop jumping up and down and tell it.
All right. And then came the fateful day. The most terrible thing happened. Yes.
You and your listeners, what's your phone number?
John! And you see, there were some lion hunters walking through the forest. Charlie.
Can you get rid of the urchin you're with?
Yes. Oh, you're getting away from the story.
But not far enough.
All right. So these hunters caught this lion in a great big rope trap.
They did?
Yes. And the little mouse happened by. And do you know what that mouse did?
He ate the lion.
No. No.
Well, I can't be wrong. I'll admit it. What did the little mouse do?
Well, I'll tell you. The little mouse, he saw these ropes there, and he sprang at these ropes, and he started to gnaw and gnaw and gnaw.
Gnaw.
Yes, sir, the little insignificant mouse freed the mighty king of the beasts.
Well, I'll be darned.
Now, what is the moral of this fable?
Well, there's the moral there.
Yes, there is. And I know you got it.
Well, I'm working on it, yeah. The moral is...
Yes.
The moral is... It pays to have a friend...
That's right.
Who gnaws the rope.
No. Surely you got more out of the story than that.
Well, a little more.
What's that?
If you want a story spoiled, let Bergen tell it.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
Mortimer.
Oh, hello there. Hello there. Hello there, mister.
Yeah. Well, mister, what?
I don't know. You don't know? I can't see a darn thing.
Well, you're wearing glasses, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. How come?
Well, I don't know. I've got a little trouble lately.
I see.
I'm getting a little harder looking.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Harder looking?
Yeah.
What's the trouble?
Well, I think one of my eyes.
Which eye?
The west eye.
The west eye?
It's a little pigeon-toed.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Well, perhaps you have astigmatism.
Tourism.
I say, perhaps you have astigmatism.
Yeah, I reckon so, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Might have.
Might have.
If I have, it settled right in my eye, too.
It settled right in your eye.
Yeah.
Well, where did you get the glasses?
Well, they're Grandpa Snurge.
Oh, Grandpa Snurge.
Yep. Yep, that's who they are. Yeah. Find a lot of smart alecks in New York. Yep, that's right.
You got them from Grandpa Snurd.
I loaned them from him.
Yeah, I loaned them from him. I see. Are they nose glasses, aren't they?
No, they're eyeglasses.
I know, they're eyeglasses. Are they good?
Well, everything looks kind of fuzzy through them.
Fuzzy. Well, then why do you wear them?
Well, it gives my nose something to do. It
gives your nose something.
Hello there, Mr. Noble.
No, that's not Mr. Noble over there.
No?
No. That's a music rack.
Oh, I thought he looked better than usual.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you better take those glasses off.
Yeah, I'm afraid my eyes might catch cold.
Oh, no. I don't think you need glasses at all.
Well, maybe not, but you know, I kind of look extinguished wearing these spectrum barnacles.
No.
It's pecker and barnacles.
No.
Corn speckled obstacles.
No.
Corn swaggle skepticals.
No.
Well, that's as far as I take it.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you something that's very good for the eyes.
What's that?
Vitamin A.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Vitamin A?
Yes.
Is that a small A or a big A?
Well, it's just A. As a matter of fact, vitamins are just very good for growing children.
Well, I don't want to grow children.
No, I know.
Oh, you're a fool.
How can you be so stupid?
Oh, I don't know. But it sure is a wonderful feeling.
I imagine so. It's Hildegard.
Thank you. Hello, Edgar. It's quite a thrill to see you again.
Well, if you want to see a real thrill, look over here.
Oh, so you're Charlie.
Uh-huh, yeah. And you're really and truly Hildegard?
Oh, may we.
We might. Hildegard, why do you only have one name?
Charlie, please. Now, you mustn't ask such personal questions.
Wait till you hear the next one.
What is it, Charlie?
There's something so interesting about your voice. It puzzles me.
Oh, I'm a chanteuse.
Oh, no. Well, I knew you were from the continent. Now, when I was traveling in Chantusia...
Charlie, vous êtes quelque chose formidable. That's Milwaukee French.
Yes.
I bet you and Edgar get along terribly well together, don't you?
Well, at least terribly.
What does he mean, Edgar?
Well, I think Charlie can explain how loyal we are to each other, can't you? Mm. Yes, I'll leave you two alone.
Charlie, tell Hildegard what's the matter. Bergen seems so cool towards you.
His knee feels like a cake of ice lately.
Well, don't feel too badly, Charlie. Let me sing to you.
All right, you sing and I'll accompany you. and a pogo stick.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to sing a beautiful French ballad which became a favorite with the boys overseas. It was then known as J'attendrai, and now with an English lyric, it is called I'll Be Yours. I'll be yours. My world may be lonely, but I'll await your return. I'll be yours, yours forever and only, and while you're gone, how I'll yearn. You're in every prayer, every thought, every dream, dear. You're everywhere, come what may. Night and day, I'll be yours. You're in every prayer, every thought, every dream, dear. You're everywhere, come what may, night and day. I'll be yours.
Oh, that was just lovely, Hildegard. I feel better now.
Oh, I'm glad. But I know how you can make Edgar feel better. Yeah. You know how? Yeah. Why don't you buy him a little present?
Yeah, well, what would you suggest? A monogrammed hot water bottle or something?
Oh, be serious, Charles. Get him something really nice.
Yeah, but my piggy bank is suffering from malnutrition or something.
Well, in that case, get him something inexpensive in a fancy box.
Yes.
Yeah, not funny, fancy. No. Oh, I know just the place where you can purchase it. It's on Fifth Avenue in a very swanky shop.
But Bergen doesn't wear a swanky phone. Well, how will we get there?
We'll let Ray Noble's music send us. Oh, here's the place, Charlie. Isn't it simply too elegant?
Oh, it's sheer heaven. I should have worn the ermine shorts.
Now within the cloistered walls of Grauer, Wimple, and Dinkleberry.
What position do you play, Bud?
I am Benjamin Grauer.
Right.
Do you have an appointment?
No, I don't. But I have an uncle in Kentucky that races ducks.
Now, look here. That's neither here nor there.
Oh, you're quite right. That's Kentucky.
Oh, really? Now, well, the more expensive things are in the front of the store. They get cheaper as you go towards the back.
Would you mind showing us something in the alley?
Look here, just how much money do you intend to spend?
I was planning on using box tops.
How about getting Edgar a leash for his dog?
Yeah, but you see, he hasn't a dog.
Well, how about getting him a dog?
We see he hasn't a leash.
Now, here is a very rare old English powder horn.
But he could never learn to play it.
Hello there, Charlie, old boy.
Ray, what are you doing in here?
Oh, I just came in to buy someone a gift for a surprise, you know.
Well, who are you going to surprise?
Me. I get to kick out of that sort of thing.
Well, Ray, I saw some lovely watches here.
Oh, I've got a watch, dear. You know, it's a funny thing. Once I dropped it in the Hudson River, and a year later it was still running.
The watch?
No, the Hudson.
Oh, dear, I do believe you've made a very funny witticism. Or am I wrong?
You people may be very amusing to someone, but have you any intentions of buying anything?
What do you have in dueling pistols?
Bullets, silly. Oh. Now, here's a pair right here. Now, if you observe, these were owned by the umbrella bearer of the Maharaja of Downpour.
How much are these pistols?
These pistols?
Yes.
$200.
Great guns.
They certainly are. Shall I wrap them up?
Wrap them up? Why, I couldn't even make a down payment on a deposit.
Well, in that case, you'll have to talk to our credit manager. Oh, credit!
I'm coming, Daddy. Coming. Coming.
These people want to open an account.
Oh. An account? Yes. Oh, they do? Oh, that's peachy. Yes.
What have we run into here?
Well, friends, my name is Ursel Twing.
Ursel
Twing, that's right. And I'm head of the credit department, and, well, no, I'm not exactly head of it either because, well, yes, I am, too, because the regular head is on vacation now.
No, you mean you have two heads?
No. Oh, yeah. No, I do not mean that. What I mean is that I am credit manager of this particular store, and, well, it isn't exactly a particular store either because anyone can trade here, and very few do.
Charge account.
Oh, your charge account? Oh, yes. Well, what can you offer as a collateral?
Well, I have an honest face.
Well, yes, I know, but you cannot put a face in a cash register.
Well, you should know. You look like you've tried it.
Tell me, what about our credit?
Oh, yes, your credit. Well, you're going to get the credit, all right.
Oh,
yes, you are. But you're not going to get it yet.
No,
you're not. Not until you change your attitude.
Oh. And say, sir, what is wrong with our
attitude? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with your attitude. There are entirely too many little undercurrents of criticism running around here to which I do not subscribe. No, and if you want to see me, I'll be in my office.
In your office?
Well, no, I won't be in my office either because I'm going home.
You're going home.
Yes, so goodbye.
Like we don't get the pistols.
Oh, wait a minute, Charlie. Perhaps I'd be interested. May I see one of them?
Oh, be careful, Ray. You may shoot someone.
Oh, don't be silly, my dear. I'm holding my finger over the muzzle. I can't get it.
Tell me, Ray, I'll bet you're fond of hunting, aren't you?
Oh, hunting. Oh, rather, yes. I simply must tell you about the time that I was shooting at Lord Loverduck's county seat.
And did you hit it?
Well, oh, yes, I don't miss on that, you know. I was aiming the weapon just like this.
Why, you shot that porcelain rabbit right in half.
Oh, splitting hairs. I made a joke, no?
You made a joke? Yes. Give me that gun. It's my turn. Just stick anything out. I'll knock it off here.
Oh, be sure and hit something cheap.
Something cheap, yeah.
Oh, you shot those two China pheasants.
Good hunting, old boy. Good hunting.
What's the limit around here?
Hold everything, you little twerp. You can't use this place for a shooting gallery.
Oh, my goodness, you've shot Mr. Dinkleberry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Fred Allen.
Kind of distant in a charming way. He was so persistent, it began one day. In the middle of May, he met a gal named June, took her off in July, and meets an August moon. And all through steps, he kept admiring her charm. And all through off, they were locked in each other's arms. From November to Jan, the runaround began. February and March, he was a worried man. It was until April that she said okay, and they were married. began. February and March, he was a worried man. It wasn't until April that she said okay. And they were married in the middle of May. In the middle of May. In the middle of May. In
Charles, almost time to listen to Fred Allen.
Fred Allen. Trip, I <I'm... laughs> Why should I listen to him on the air? He won't even talk to me in person.
Well, after all, Charlie. You know, no, be fair, Charlie. And you're entitled to 10% according to law.
Yeah, well, is that so?
Yes, according to law, boy.
Well, what law says so? What
the
law?
Very oldest legal authority.
Quote me, man. Quote me. Quote
Blackstone, me. Curbstone, gallstone, and pebble.
Oh. They ought to know. They ought to know. But Alan won't even see me. He shuts the door in my face.
No, but he'll see me, Charlie. Yes, I'll go over there right now and tell him you're thinking of bringing suit.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you give it to him. And you tell him if he doesn't pay me, I'll slap him across the face with a subpoena. That's what
I... All right, Charlie.
Yes.
And if he gets belligerent, old boy, I'll jolly well mow him, so help me. I'll clip him down or whatever it is you
get. No.
Next Sunday, when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, and all of us invite Fred Allen to be back with us as our guest. We'll be coming to you from New York, Radio City.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.